people, and this program is called A Progressive Life. We talk about everything under the sun. Today, I'm going to be all over the place. We've got my little phone doesn't know what to do with all the stuff that I put in it in the last 2 days. I'm going to give you all sorts of stuff. One of the things I wanted to talk about, and Scott Spears and I were talking, we have a two-hour session while Charlie's on the air, and I kind of semi-engineer his show. I turn him on and turn him off. That's what I do. But anyway, Scott and I were talking about the radio station, and we're going to have a big announcement probably next week, but I'm going to give you a little tidbit about it. We are moving. I'm not going to tell you where we're moving, but we are moving, and we're going to have much better and easier to get to location. Not that this hasn't been a great location. It has been a great location. But the Beltone building, you have to walk downstairs. The stairs are not not equal in their tread, and it's you walk right in while we're on the air. There is no way one time I walked in and they were on the air. It was one of the first times we had the morning show with Scott, and I walked in and started blabbing, and they're on the air, and I didn't realize it. So we'll this location is going to give us the opportunity to be a little bit more, shall we say, professional in our handling of our shows. But you know, one thing I really love about radio, and I've loved radio since I was a kid. I think I told you that I used to write radio plays, and I have always done sportscasting, and I've loved being a newscaster on radio, and I really enjoyed it. Never made any money to speak of, a little bit here and there, but I've loved radio. I love the immediacy of radio. I love the fact, and when I was doing advertising for different places, I loved the fact that I could call up and say, I need to change my ad now. And they could do it within, you know, an hour. Now, if you had to re-record it, sometimes it took a little bit longer, but in most cases you could get it done same day. So if your sale of wickets had to lower the price on it because they weren't selling very well, you could do it in a day, and people would hear, oh, your wickets are down to 25 cents a piece instead of a dollar a piece, and that would do some good. I'm going to tell you a little story. I was in sales management at several places for radio, and one of the places we had, I was the sales manager of a radio station outside Chicago, and I had a customer that said radio doesn't work, that he wouldn't advertise with us because radio doesn't work. It absolutely does not work. And I said, well, if I can get you free spots for an afternoon, and I can prove to you that it does work, would you consider it? He said, well, I'd consider it. I said, okay, we're going to have, he had a restaurant, I won't give you the name, it was a chain, but he was right next to the local high school, and I said, okay, on Friday night, we're going to be broadcasting the local high school's game, and we will broadcast free of charge all day that you're giving away a free French fry. All you'd have to do is come over and mention the name of the radio station, and we'll do it during the game, so you'll know exactly why it was happening. Excuse me. And so we did that. And about halftime of the game, I got a phone call or something. He sent a person over to that's what actually happened. He sent a person over to the football game because we were right next to his restaurant. And he said, you got to get it off the air. I said, why? He said, we've run out of French fries. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. So we took it off the air. And the next Monday, I went in and I said, okay, now you know it works, right? Yeah, it worked. And I, he said, you ran me out of French fries. And I said, okay, now, how many spots do you want to buy? Well, I'm not doing any radio. Even though it worked a charm for him. He had all sorts of excuses why it worked. The fact is, it did work. And anyway, I love radio. I always loved radio. And the thing nice about, one of the reasons why I work here, and I don't call it work. First of all, if you like what you're doing, it's not work, right? And one of the reasons why I'm working here is because I think that with all the changes in the local media, our newspaper might be down to one news. Yeah, I think it's only one reporter. Our radio stations, there are three radio stations, and I think there are less than three announcers. It might be three announcers for the whole time. So it's all gone to automated music. Well, who wants to listen to automated music? If you want to do that, you can buy yourself Pandora. You don't even have to buy it. It's free. You listen to maybe two real short ads in a half an hour and you're done, or 15 minutes and you're done with the ads. But anyway, so everything around here, there is no television. If you're going to watch TV, it's going to be Columbus, or you're going to watch over the internet, or you, my wife and I just shut down the local TV just because the cost of my, and I won't mention their name, but the cost of my TV went up three times this year already. And now they say the price didn't go up. They're just doing away with the promotional funds, the promotional prices that they gave me to start with. Well, first of all, I didn't know they had given me promotional prices. I'm sure it was in the small print. But then they also told me it was going to go up one more time for one of the boxes that we had. So we were going to go from about $100 a month up to $168 a month. We're on Social Security. I don't have $68 a month that I can throw away. So we closed them out and went to a streaming network, which we're back down to $100 a month. Anyway, and by the way, you don't get a choice of internet carrier, because free enterprise does not work in this business. They have to have a monopoly, and this area does have a monopoly on internet. You have two places you can get internet, and one of them has decently fast, but not terribly fast, internet, and the other one has rather slow internet. And if you're going to stream anything, you don't want the slow internet. Anyway, this radio station is going to reawaken, I think, Marion to radio, because the guys that are in charge of this station are intent on giving you local information. And you know as well as I know, some days it doesn't work very well. I remember one of my interviews, one of my best interviews with Mike Larson, a gentleman who's considering running for office. He's been a stand-up comedian on Leno a couple of times. He's been a political guy with Spears, the Congresswoman Spears from California. He's been with Janet Garrett. Just a great guy, and it was a good interview, but we didn't get going for about 10 or 12 minutes because I couldn't get the phone to work. It would So we got lots of bumps and bruises. We have lots of blemishes on our radio station, but we're local, and you know that. You know that if you're listening to us, you're going to hear people talking about Marion, people complaining about Marion, people trying to better Marion as opposed to boring music. Now, I love music. I made a living in music. I was a singer and a string bass player and a jazz player, and I absolutely love music. But if I want to listen to music, I will listen to the type of music I want to listen to, not what a radio station forces me to listen to, especially not if I have to listen to lots of ads while they're doing it. So this station, you'll get Scott's show, you'll get The Weasel, you'll get Charlie Everett's show. I'm going to miss everybody. You'll get your own religious shows. You'll get my show. People that know Marion, people that will complain about Marion, people that will talk about Marion. Which reminds me, if you want to complain or you just want to talk about things that are coming, the phone number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. And you're always welcome to call in. Even if I'm not talking about something you're interested in talking about, you can call in and just say hi. Radio station that you're listening to, WWGH, has made a commitment to at least constantly talking and being with the people of Marion. And I think the new location you're going to really like, it'll be as easy to get to, maybe a little easier to get into, and we're kind of excited about the move. We love the Beltone building. They were very nice to us, but this new place will have better parking. It'll be more downtown. It'll be easier to find, and we hope you'll enjoy it. I think they're going to change as early as tonight, so you may be hearing from a different studio on tomorrow's news cycle. There was a great gentleman on this morning, James Gregory. I really appreciated Scott. Scott now has a morning show that has been very good. Tune into him. He'll give you a lot of information. He is a great interviewer. I love listening to Scott's interviews. He doesn't get in the way of the interview. He lets the interviewee talk, and I absolutely love listening to him. One of the ones that Phil Donahue, I listened to his interview several times. I love listening to Clift. I can't remember her first name. You know her. She's been on all sorts of TV news things. Her first name leaves me. I need some of that medicine that helps old people remember stuff. But this morning James Gregory was on, and he was talking about how he became a stand-up comedian, and I really hadn't heard of him. He doesn't really work the light night shows and stuff like that, but I'm sure he's been on them, but it's not like he's a huge name on them. But I really enjoyed listening to all the things that he does to prepare himself for his shows, and that's quite a deal to prepare myself for this show. Believe it or not, I worry about it, and I usually start thinking about, now that I'm doing 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, I start worrying about it on Monday and start putting stuff into my, I have a little app that lets me put notes into my phone, and I start putting notes in there. I'm reading from them right now. I start putting notes in there about what I can talk about, things that have happened during the week that I think you people would be interested in, the things that touch on being progressive. And I know there are a lot of people in Marion, and probably several that are listening right now, that are not, do not consider themselves progressive. But I try to put the notes down, judging the factuality of what I'm listening to, and hoping that you will at least learn something from it, even if you disagree, and that's exactly fine. We've had people call this show, and I can tell they disagreed, but they were civil, and that's also one of the things that I try to maintain, civility on the air. And I think you'll find that's pretty true with this show and most of the shows on this radio station. Local people trying to help each other get along. One of the things I wrote down to talk about was acting. And with James Gregory on this morning, that brought it up. And I thought, well, let me talk a little bit about my acting career. It lasted, well, all the way through college. I was in, that was my major. I know. That's the only way I could get through. My major was called Speech and Drama, and I graduated from Valparaiso University, and I really thought I was going to be a major player in football when I started at Butler University down in Indianapolis, but it didn't take me very long to realize that at 180 pounds, I was not going to be a middle linebacker in the NFL. But acting, I was pretty good at. I was good at finding the emotion. I was good at emoting so that people felt that I believed what I was saying. I was not good at memorizing lines. And that really is what ended my acting career. But I did spend a couple of years in summer stock theater, and I did lots of shows where I more or less gave the lines I was supposed to give. I did The Boyfriend. I did West Side Story twice. Taming of the Shrew. I did all sorts of, you know, everything from Shakespeare to, like West Side Story was not Shakespeare, but it was very similar. And I died both times. I died as Bernardo, and I died as Riff. So I really got to emote there. But acting was fun for me. I really enjoyed it, much like I enjoy doing this radio stuff. I guess one of my biggest problems all my life is my ego. It's been pretty big. I really think I'm a pretty good Joe. That's one of the things you have to have if you're willing to put yourself out there and say some stupid stuff and then apologize for being so stupid later. But acting, you don't have to apologize because you've gotten the lines written for you, and you just memorize the lines if you can, and act. You try to put yourself into the person. I was not a friendly person right before going on stage. First of all, I was scared to death, which I understand from many of my friends who have been in acting. I was scared, excited at the same time, apprehensive of, boy, what happens if I forget my lines? Now, one time, we were doing a Chekhov play, and I don't know if you know Chekhov, but he may have written the most boring plays in the world, as far as I was concerned. But it was so boring that everybody that was in this Chekhov play, you know, we were out on stage doing our lines, and somebody forgot a line. And usually what happens if somebody forgets a line is somebody else picks that line up and says, weren't you going to say, or something along that line. But nobody could remember that person's line. And they just had to bring down the curtain. And we stopped for about 5 minutes, and the director came out and told us what our lines were, and we continued on. But boy, that was embarrassing. And that's something that all actors dream about, is that for some reason or other, you're going to forget your lines, and everybody else is going to forget their lines, and you're going to be standing there with egg on your face. But acting was kind of neat in that people liked to know actors. They'll come backstage and treat you like you are somebody, even though I wasn't anybody. I was just Glenn Coble, son of a minister from South Bend, Indiana, in Valparaiso, Indiana. And but they act, you have a feeling that they think you are somebody. And that's something I think many actors and actresses really get into, is having people treat them with the respect that you are somebody. And I think you should treat everybody that way. I have always tried to treat everybody that way, even if I didn't think they were very intelligent, even if I didn't agree with them, even if I didn't even like them. I tried to treat them with respect, that they are a human being and they have the right to believe what they want. Anyway, that was that's a little bit about my acting career. I was lucky enough to be Charlie Brown in a show called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, that went to the national finals of university acting finals. And we didn't win. We didn't even come in second, but it was a great opportunity to be reviewed by, I think, the Chicago Tribune, the Milwaukee Journal, and the Washington Post, I believe, were the three reviewers. I remember one reviewer said it would be a good idea if Charlie Brown could remember his lines most of the time, which was not a real good review. But we got through it, and people applauded, and they enjoyed it, and I enjoyed listening to them applaud and be happy. So that was one of the things. Anyway, let's go back a little bit to politics. We've had some strange stuff going on this past week in politics, and not the least of which is the fact that our president, and I use that term loosely, our president must have broken the law about emoluments. And I was going to look up where the definition of emoluments is in the Constitution, and unfortunately I'm a terrible speller as well as a terrible memorizer. I couldn't figure out how to spell emoluments, and I was doing it right before the show started, so I didn't get it. But emoluments are where a politician, and it doesn't have to be a president, it could be any politician, accepts something, accepts money or gratuity for the position they're in. And I think it mainly points to the president, but it may also apply to the people around the president. But anyway, the president said, he told his aides, the emoluments that he offended were that he went out and said at the G7, wouldn't you like to come to Doral, which is a golf course that he owns, a golf club that he owns. He said, we have wonderful facilities, we have the best food, we are the best in taking care of people. He basically did a sales pitch to the G7 to come to Doral next year for the G7. And it was mentioned by several of the talking heads, was he intending to get paid for that? If he is intending for that, they pay for that, then he's going to be making money because of his position as president. And that is a violation of the emolument clauses. There is no question, not a single slight question, that if he accepts money for that, he is going to be making money because he is president of the United States, which is against the law. Absolutely no question about it. Now, many of the talking heads said, well, maybe he's going to give them the use of the facility. Okay, well, I'll believe that when snow forms in Hades. But I actually think that that is the start of a great impeachment inquiry. I'm not a big fan of impeachment. I think impeachment should only be done on very severe cases of breaking the, not the laws, but breaking the attitudes that a president should have, and breaking the agreement with the American public that the president is not taking that job to make money. Obviously, if he gets all these people to come to Doral and he accepts payments for their rooms, for their board, for their transportation in and out, for their security, he's going to be getting something for that. And I think that is an absolute breach of his agreement with the American people not to make money as the president. Another thing that our leader in chief, or whatever he is, did this week that I think would be another absolute nail in the impeachment coffin is he told his aides to take land from the people along the border using eminent domain. Those laws that say the government can take away property from people for the good of the rest of the country. He told them to take away the land, and if they get charged for anything, he isn't going to do it. He told his aides to do this. But if they get charged for any illegalities or any breaches of contractual agreements or anything like that, he'll give them a pardon. Now, that just does not sound like an honest person or an honest situation. How in the world can you promise somebody that you're going to give them a pardon for doing something wrong to start with? That just doesn't ring in my ears as being anything that any American president should be involved in. There are many, many of the Democrats, congressmen and women, Democratic congressmen and women, that have already agreed that we need to start an impeachment process. Matter of fact, I think it's over half of them, well over half of them. It might not be. It might be right at half. But I'm not a big fan of Mrs. Pelosi's leadership. But I am also not against her leadership. I'm just kind of neutral on that. And I think she, up to this point, has kind of tried to discourage that, because they know darn well that right now, with Mitch McConnell standing, Moscow Mitch standing in the doorway of the Senate, they're never going to get that passed. They probably won't even, if it's sent over to the Senate, it probably won't even get looked at. Anyway, that's going to make me mad if I start thinking about it. But it seems like she's going to have to do a lot of soul-searching as they come back. Congress is coming back to session soon, and I think she's going to have to do a lot of soul-searching of whether she wants to. Obviously, you would take a defeat by impeaching a president, sending it to the Senate, and having them tell you, no, we're not going to take this up. And that is kind of a defeat. But if you don't try to impeach on things like this emoluments problem with the Doral golf course, or telling his aides to break the law and I'll impeach or I will pardon you. If we don't go ahead with the impeachment, we look like we're going to let him go. There is no penalty to be paid for outrageous breaking of the rules. And I'm saying rules because I'm not sure that all of this are laws. Now, I do know one of the things he wants to do against is end the birthright citizenship's rules, which means, well, in the 14th Amendment, it talks about where you're, if you are a citizen or naturalized or born, will be a citizen. Well, and it basically says people that are born in the United States are American citizens. And almost all countries have a law like that. If you're born in their country, you will have dual citizenship. If you're a citizen of the United States and let's say and you're born in Mexico, you would have dual citizenship. But they're trying to do away with that. So they're going to have some real problems when we have children born to American soldiers, sailors, and Marines that are living in other countries. Does their child therefore not qualify as an American citizen? Does he have to go through the Americanization process where you learn all this stuff? And it's not a bad thing. I've taken the test a long time ago. I took the test and did pretty well on it. Is that what we're going to do to our our soldiers, sailors, Marines, and other people that are foreign aid or foreign workers that are in other countries? We're going to make them their children non-citizens because they're not born here. I really think we have to step on some of these things. I think we need to call our congressmen and our senators and tell them you're being a harbinger of a fool. You're hiding a person that cares only about himself and not about the American public. In the last couple of weeks, I've gotten a little harsher about our president. I believe that I think he's going a little nuts, if he wasn't nuts to start with. But I'm getting a little stronger on it. And I'm sorry if you disagree with me. That's your right. But how can you defend all the lies? He will lie in the same day and then say, if he said something that is outrageous, he'll say, oh, I was kidding. Well, that's what I used to say to my mom and dad when I lied to them. And I'm not sure it was appreciated or even believed when I said it to them. And I don't believe it coming from our president. The Washington Post has him over 12,000 lies or deceptions in his three-year presidency. And are you really proud of your president? That's something that I grew up being proud of my president. From Eisenhower to even Nixon, at least he did something. There were people that said how brilliant a president he was, except he was a crook or he was he made some bad judgments, bad errors in maybe he was a little bit paranoid and that caused his problems. But I was never deeply, deeply disappointed in my president until the last 3 years. And the bad part for me, and I know there are a lot of you that will disagree with this, but the bad part for me was I really, really cared for President Obama. I think he was a bright man. I think he was, and I've had arguments about whether he was the brightest, and I understand that maybe he wasn't the brightest president. You have to be pretty sharp, or at least you used to have to be pretty sharp to be president. And I think he was darn sharp, but he was also a good human being. And this guy we have there now is, in my judgment, not a good human being. We have, as you all know, I was brought up by a Methodist minister. I try to live my life by the New Testament parables, even though I consider myself, and I do not, I looked it up. I don't consider myself an atheist anymore. I consider myself an agnostic. And the difference there is kind of the judgment of an atheist absolutely denies that there could possibly be any deity. Whereas an agnostic says, well, there might be a deity. I don't believe it, but I'm not going to say there isn't one. It's kind of a wishy-washy in the middle type of position, but that's kind of the way I am, kind of wishy-washy. I don't know absolutely, obviously, as no one knows absolutely that there is a deity. So I don't, it just is, doesn't, the God of the Bible that we supposedly worship, by the way, most of the stuff in the New Testament was written 80 to 100 years after Jesus was dead. So when they say Jesus said, they are guessing. But anyway, there are a lot of things that I disagree with, and therefore I really have a hard time saying. My father said I should have faith. And faith, to me, you can have faith that in anything, and it may not come to pass. So I prefer to have constructive criticism and constructive thought be my my leader. I will give my friends who go to church on a regular basis and really believe that there is a deity that cares about them. I love to watch baseball players thanking God for making them win the game. I remember being an athlete and hearing kids pray for, you know, to win and pray for things like that. Do you really think if there is a God, do you really think he cares if the Bulldogs, the Butler Bulldogs, win a basketball game or the Valparaiso Vikings win a game? I don't think he would care. Why would he care? You're a human being. You have to live your own life. Now, I understand there are people that will ask for the ability to do their best. And if they're a baseball player and they go up there and strike out, that's not their best. But they don't blame God for not giving them a home run. So anyway, I just find it difficult to go along with a lot of that stuff. Anyway, I hope that you will listen. One of the things I always preach is listen more than you talk, and listen with constructive hearing. Be a skeptic about stuff. When people tell you that the government does this for you, don't assume it's true. They may have heard it over some talk radio show like this, and the person didn't know what they're talking about. Now, I will tell you, I try to look up everything I'm going to talk about as far as making rules and making statements. I try to look it up so that I don't give you talking points. Talking points are the bane to me, the bane of politics. When I was running for office, they told me, use this and use that talking point and use that talking point. And if you say it this way, people will misunderstand it. I find that totally without honesty. I think you need to tell people exactly the way you feel and make sure that they know that it's the way you feel. Unless you absolutely know. If you know that tomorrow morning the sun's going to come up at 7:03 or whatever the time it is, and you tell them that, you don't have to assume that it's not. But I think you should assume that what somebody tells you, if the sun's going to come up at 10:45, You should assume with your thought process that person doesn't know what they're talking about, unless they know that there's going to be a giant eclipse and it's going to last for 3 or 4 hours or something like that. But be careful when, and don't spread the talking points. Talking points are just that. They're talking points that somebody's made up that will get you, listenership by people you want to listen to you. But talking points are not honest conversation. Make sure that if you get an opportunity to talk to your politicians, the people that run your government, if you have an opportunity, ask them straight up questions. A lot of the people are doing that this week. I've noticed it on television where they're showing town halls, and people are just asking straight up, straight questions, not trying to mince their words so they don't offend somebody. Not that I think you should want to offend somebody. You should try to be you should be nice to people. You should not want to offend somebody. You should try to couch your statement in a way that says, is this true or is it not true? But not say, listen to me, you dummy. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, that just doesn't, in my way of thinking, that does not work as a human being. Human beings should have respect for each other, no matter whether the human being disagrees with your political points or disagrees with your religious points or disagrees with your points of interest. Show them the respect of at least listening. I find it a good way of getting around talking to somebody that I absolutely know I'm going to disagree with by keeping my mouth shut. I will occasionally say, well, I don't understand that, or I don't agree with that, but that's your idea, and that's fine. If I have absolute proof that they're wrong, I might bring that up and say, no, the sun is not going to come up at 10:45 tomorrow. I've got it right here on the internet. It says it'll be up at 7:03. Not that the internet is the Bible of the world, but it usually is right on when the sun's going to come up. But treat people with respect, but also know that people, they may not be trying to lie to you. They just may have heard something from somebody who heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else. And you know how that party game goes. By the end, you get to the end of the line and the story isn't even about the same thing. You've got to be very careful when you're passing on facts. And if you don't know it's a fact, let people know. I'm not sure that this is true, but I've heard that if I get up tomorrow morning at 7:35, the sun will have been up for 32 minutes. Make sure that the people know that when you're telling them stuff you think and not stuff you know. Well, it's about the end of the day. And I think tomorrow when you turn on this radio station, it will be coming from a different location. The guys are gathering together to make the move, and I wish them luck. My wife would kill me if the heart attack didn't kill me if I helped move. I did have a heart attack a few years back, and she's kind of protective of me. So I will wish them luck. And I hope you will tune on again tomorrow, because tomorrow is Saturday, and we'll be on the air. We're on the air all the time, and we love Marion, and we love the fact that we're getting more and more and more listeners every day. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and this program is called A Progressive Life. Please tune in next Wednesday and Thursday.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just